You're listening to Radigan's Rockcast, a series focused on talking about music from the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and even current. Now, here's your host, Tom Radigan.
What's going on, guys? Welcome to Radigan's Rockcast. I am, of course, your host, Tom Radigan, from WMYO, Castos, Anchor, Amazon, Spotify, wherever you are listening. I am glad you are on. So let's begin. So 1962 was a big year, because it was the start of something. It was the start of when the Mets, the New York Mets, were a baseball team, but it was also the year the Beatles got a recording contract from EMI. And, of course, the England label is Parlophone, American was Capitol Records. But, really what we're talking about today is the Beatles' album Please Please Me, which was their first album they released in March of 1963. Now, you know, 58 years ago, you know, was the start of something new that we saw. We saw these songs emerge, you know. Of course, the Beatles, you know, a lot of people will say they love their later stuff, but their early stuff was also pretty good. And of course, you know, in some ways, what I consider Please Please Me is a prototype album, basically, of songs that they had that they were able just to really, like, you know, expand over time. It's really, this album, I feel, is a blueprint. A good way to describe this album, I think, is a party album. It's a party album, in my opinion. This is how I would describe this album and all that stuff. That's how I would even, you know, like rank it. Because, you know, instead of ranking with numbers, I feel like ranking with words or themes. And I would call this a party album. Now, it had 14 songs. Four were from 1962, because they were like, there were two singles, Love Me Do and Please Please Me. Love Me Do was the first single, Please Please Me was the second. The B-side was P.S. I Love You for Love Me Do. The B-side for Please Please Me was Ask Me Why. So they were recorded in 1962, but the rest of the tracks were recorded in February of 1963. So, now, what really was happening and what was going on with the Beatles at this time, in the beginning. So when they first got signed, they made a few changes. For instance, Pete Best, who was their original drummer, John, Paul, and George, felt that they wanted to have Ringo Starr, who was a part of Rory Sturm and the Hurricanes. And, you know, that magic lineup was born. So Pete was out, Ringo was in. And, of course, this magic works for the four of them. There's no Beatles without John, Paul, George, and Ringo. There was no frontman of the Beatles. That's one thing I just really want to point out. Because George Martin did not think Pete Best was a good drummer, so that was one reason why. There was also a reason that John, Paul, George, and were jealous of Ringo. I mean, not Ringo, of Pete. But, also, too, it just was, they felt Ringo was a better drummer, you know? And, you know, Ringo was a really good drummer, and, you know, there was just something about they all had this chemistry together that just worked well, and all that. But George Martin also did not think Ringo was the best drummer either. And that is why, for Love Me Do, he had session drummer Andy White fill in, and Ringo just played the tambourine. But there is actually, the single version did have Ringo, and it is different. You can listen to it on the past master version, but on the album, it's got Andy White, and you could tell the drumming's different. I remember at a little age, I thought, like, oh wow, Ringo's drumming's really good on this, and you find out it's a different drummer and all that stuff. And it's not that, you know, Andy White was a better drummer or anything, it's just that, you know, Ringo had this different drumming style. Ringo was not, you know, everybody says that Ringo wasn't the best drummer, or Ringo was just not a good musician. Ringo, you know, was the whole point of a drummer, and this is how Ringo felt about it. A drummer is the backbone of the group. A drummer is not supposed to be the front man. A drummer is supposed to be the timekeeper. Ringo did not like, you know, doing these drum solos and all that stuff. And, you know, I mean, John, Paul, and George wanted him to do that, but Ringo was like, no, he didn't feel it was necessary. I think in some ways, you know, he did a good move in that sense, you know. I mean, in some ways, I think Ringo was, you know, like, you know, a spot in the spotlight, or just, you know, had this, you know, frontman sense, you know, even if he didn't want it, you know, because they all four, you know, that's the thing, they all were four frontmen, you know, and that's really the most important thing when you talk about the Beatles and all that stuff. So, Love Me Do, you know, so yeah, that was a single, so the single had, like, yeah, so it had different versions. So, you know, Ringo was on the single version, and then there was the album version. The single version is definitely different. You could tell that they just, it isn't that polished. And on the song, I mean, I always loved, I mean, I think, it's a cool, interesting instrument, it's a cool instrumentation of their lineup and all that stuff, of John just on harmonica, Paul on bass, and George on rhythm guitar, really, because there was no other guitar on that. It's not really a guitar solo, it's really like a harmonica that's the lead instrument. But I will say Love Me Do, what I think is important on that song is Paul's bass. I think, just, you know, Paul does not get, I think, as much recognition as a bass player, and you can just hear how the bass carries that song, too. And, you know, the song they did as the B-side of that, P.S. I Love You, is a cool little, you know, ditty and all that stuff. Of course it was their, you know, I Love You phase and all that stuff, which is good too. You know, you gotta have early Beatles, okay? I make a debate. You need to have early Beatles music in order to, like, the rest, I feel like, in some ways, too, you know? It's a package deal, you know? There's no really bad Beatles song. And, I mean, I get it. The Beatles elevated to do greater things. But, you know, I need that a little bit of that early Beatles spirit in me. Because, you know, I think we all just want to have a little bit of that Let Loose and Fun album, you know? And, yeah, it's totally, I feel, it's a party album in that sense. And it's got, you know, a mix of covers and a mix of, you know, songs that they, you know, were working on. I've called this album a blueprint. It was a blueprint for songs that they have done and all that. So, let's talk a little bit about Please Please Me. Now, Please Please Me was John's song on the album, because Paul had the song Love Me Do. Love Me Do, Paul wrote that song, actually, in 1958. It sort of got, like, that Buddy Holly style. But Please Please Me was John's type of song. And a little dirty, a little risque. But how he got inspired by it was Roy Orbison's voice, you know, from Roy Orbison's singing on Only the Lonely, and also Bing Crosby's Please Lend Your Little Ears. And what he loved about that was how the word please was used twice in that song. So he thought, like, that is a really, like, kind of, like, interesting thing to do. So that's sort of how that came about. And, I mean, what I love about it is, of course, the harmonica, but I love the come on, come on, come on, come on. That works well. And, you know, it's funny how there is a difference. And I noticed this, actually. Realized it this year, and then realized it made sense, because I don't always remember noticing it as a kid, and maybe it was just because I didn't, but, so, there's two, like Love Me Do, the single and the album version sound different. The single version, has, you know, is just very polished, and all that stuff. Whether on the album, they goof up a little on the third verse, and you can hear John laugh. And I think it's because, you know, instead of saying, like, you know, like, the lines, like, last night I said these words to my girl, you know you never even try, girl. Like John, like, I think messed up. It was like, why do I even try? Or, like, yeah. And it was just, they messed it up. And you could hear John laugh while they go into come on, like, come on. But, you know, I always found it funny. But if you want to listen to the song without the goofy version, listen to the single version. That you can find on, like, you know, Past Masters, or the compilation album they did from 1962 to 1966, that was released in the 70s and all that stuff. Please Please Me was not their first number one, but it did get on number one on a few music charts. But their real number one hit was also recorded around the time when they were in the process of releasing Please Please Me. It didn't make the album, but it's still an early Beatles song, so why not we mention it as well? well, and that is From Me to You. From Me to You and Thank You Girl were that was that song. And, you know, From Me to You, I've always loved that song. I've always thought that that's such a, you know, fun ditty. I remember 2 years ago, I had that song stuck in my head for 2 weeks. And, you know, it was an interesting song because they wrote that backstage before, you know, like, when they were performing and, like, you know, opening up for the act for Helen Shapiro. And she was like a teen act at the time that they were opening up for. This is when they were still, you know, getting traction, still, you know, becoming big and all that. And, you know, just, you know, a great, you know, always one of my favorite early Beatles songs and all that stuff. And my dad always said, too, you know, it was a song that he, you know, like, because my dad was a fan of the Beatles at the time, because he grew up when the Beatles were, you know, emerging and all that, and he didn't really hear From Me to You until later, because it was, you know, wasn't on an album, and, you know, because, you know, the America, you know, us in America didn't always get a lot of the English stuff, and because it was a very early song, and before it was really, you know, before their fame, because Please Me was not released in America, and that would have been the same with From Me to You. So some people really in America forgot about the song, but it was actually their first number one hit. And, you know, so my dad didn't really discover that until later, which probably I think he said he was a teenager when he noticed the song. Like this was after the Beatles broke up, when he found out, when he realized what the song, you know, and all that. And so, of course, so From Me to You is not an album track. The same with the B-side, Thank You Girl. But it's got that Please Please Me vibe and all that. We talked about Ask Me Why a little bit. That's another John song on the B-side. Because Love Me Do, you know, has two Paul songs. You know, Love Me Do, P.S. I Love You. Please Please Me has two John lead songs on it. You know, Ask Me Why Ask Me Why is a good one. I love the line, like, I can't believe with any more misery. And why don't we add that to the next thing, song on the list? Because there is a song called Misery. And that's a song I think, you know, I've noticed people love it on this album and being like an underrated favorite track. It's a song that's not mentioned as much as it should, because it's always such a fun song, because, you know, it's talking about being in misery in a romance sense. But I always found the song so funny too, of how happy it is too, like the cheerfulness. And that's what I think the Beatles could do a good job at, is, you know, they had this sense of humor where their songs could be, like, you know, in a sense, like, you know, very tragic, and then just have this, you know, happy go lucky lyric, like happy go lucky melody, you know. So yeah. And you know, John's got some other great lead vocals on this album, you know, all that stuff. For instance, you know, Baby It's You, that's the Shirelles cover. But the cover, you know, I've always loved and all that stuff was Arthur Alexander's Anna Go With Him. The way John just carries that song, and George and Paul's harmonies on it are just, you know, timeless in a sense. You know, they just, you know, John, like, the way John just, you know, like, owns that song, even though he didn't write it, you know, and all that stuff. He sings the heck out of it, and he makes it perfect. The four of them were able to make, you know, covers, you know, fit them. And, you know, the one thing that they did that, you know, some other groups didn't do is they would cover, like, the original, and it worked, you know, and all that stuff. You know, they weren't gonna try to be like, you know, they create this, or we're doing something different. They just like the song, they want to sing like that song, you know? Because that was the theme, you know, that was the Beatles, you know, inspiration and all that stuff for these other artists. Love that song on there. We also have, you know, a few other covers. There was a cover from the song The Cookies. Two girl group songs. Well, yeah, we have the Shirelles, that we have Baby It's You, which John did that as well. They also did, the other song that they have from the Shirelles is Boys, which is sung by Ringo. So let's talk about Boys. This was Ringo's first song on the album. First song from a Beatles album that we would hear from Ringo. And, you know, this song just, they all have so much fun singing it, like, especially with John, Paul, and George on the backing vocals, which I think they all are on, because The thing that was interesting about when Ringo would sing lead is that sometimes it wasn't always, because, you know, we know that, like, you know, I think it's, you know, it can be well known that when, you know, either, you know, John or Paul was singing lead and there was backing vocals, Ringo was never really in the harmonies and all that stuff. Ringo was really just stuck to a drum, but when he would sing lead, you know, you would think that all four of them would sing and all three of them would do the harmony, but that wasn't always the case either, you know? So I don't know what was that always, because sometimes usually when Ringo would sing, it would sometimes just be John and Paul. But I believe this one has John, Paul, and George. You can just tell how fun they're singing it. And now, I will address, okay, because the lyrics are, you know, whatchamacallit, because the song's called Boys, and they're singing it in the same way the girl group the Shirelles did it, I didn't really care at the time. I mean, I noticed as time went on, I found that funny. And, you know, I think it was addressed in reviews of the album and with that stuff. But, you know, it's not like people thought that, you know, they were gay or anything. I mean, you know, even so what, you know, especially now in this climate too, of course, you know. Of course, you know, back then it was different. And of course, you know, not to get too much on a tangent, but it was also because Brian Epstein was gay, and that was in England, it was illegal at that time and all that. But, you know, it's not, you know, I think it's like you can know what they're doing. They're speaking in a girl's point of view, you know? They're, you know, it's still, you know, four straight guys talk about girls. It's just their point of view of how, you know, girls might talk about, you know, their boyfriends and all that. And I always loved, you know, how Ringo calls out to George to do the solo. He also does that on another track in another album and all that. But I've always loved that too. And yeah, no, it just works well. They just have so much fun on this song, and that's really, like I said, the theme of this album. It's a party album. You know, George has two songs on this. The first one he does is a cover of the group The Cookies, Chains, and all that stuff. That was a Carole King song that she wrote with her husband. And all that, you know, it's not my favorite cover of George's, but, you know, I mean, there's nothing wrong with the song itself. The cover, I always loved that. I mean, the George song I loved on this album really was Do You Want to Know a Secret? That was not written by George. This is one of the two songs that that John and Paul wrote for George. It's interesting because Do You Want to Know a Secret was a song that John got inspired by watching the 1937 Disney film Snow White, because, you know, Snow White says to the birds, "Do you want to know a secret?" And John said that that's like, that was kind of got him the inspiration. And it was, yeah, because the lines from the movie that are used in the song, "Do you want to know a secret? Promise not to tell." Yeah, like, and it works pretty well. And an interesting fact is that I found out, you know, the group Billy J. Kramer and the Dakotas, you know, were, you know, they did that song. And, you know, John and Paul gave that song to them. But, you know, of course, when they needed a song on their album, they did that too, you know. John and Paul did that a few times where they would give songs away to other groups. And that was a group that Brian Epstein ended up managing as well. And all that. So we talked about those songs. You know, we've got a few other covers. We've got Taste of Honey, which is another cover on that. We also have, you know, There's a Place, which really is, you know, just more of like a, you know, how I've called this album a blueprint. You know, this is the same thing. It's like, you know, it's a prototype song. It's a song that shows the type of songwriting and harmonies John, Paul have and all that. But, you know, but they could do so much more later on. And that's what I think this song shows, that they have a sense of knowing how to, you know, write and structure a song, but, you know, it's nothing, you know, it doesn't have, like, the greatest lyrics or the greatest song you ever heard, but, you know, that doesn't mean you can't listen to it or bop your head to it. And two songs that we haven't mentioned yet were the first and the last song. So let's talk about the first song that started this album. 1, 2, 3, 4. Well, she was just 17. You know what I mean. And you know what I mean when I'm quoting this song. That's right. I saw her standing there. Now, this was, of course, Paul starts this album off and all that. And, you know, it works well with this song. Because, you know, that's funny. At first, you know, I was surprised that Please Please Me didn't start off the album. And I thought, you know, it had to be... When I was a kid, I thought it was a law that the title of the song of an album has to start off the album. And all that. So, of course, little did I know. But, you know, I saw... But it works well because the 1, 2, 3, 4... It would have been weird if it was... Please Believe Me was the first one, and I saw her standing there. It was 1, 2, 3, 4, you know, and all that stuff. It just works well. It starts off the album. It's a fun rock song. Got a little of that 50s style, you know, and all that. But they're bringing some 60s roots to it. It was actually written, I think, you know, 2 years prior and all that. You know, I think Paul did when he was going out with... I forget who he was going out with. Yeah, and the funniest thing is, Paul talked about this a few years ago, that when he was writing the song, he had a line, you know, well, she was just 17, she'd never been a beauty queen. John didn't like that line, so they changed it to, she was just 17, you know what I mean? He goes like, even though you probably didn't know what I mean, but you know... I mean, I think, but maybe I don't. I don't know. But, you know, definitely. And I like John's voice on this as the backing vocals on it. And when they play it live, you can hear John just stand out even more with it. You know, like, where you hear John's other voice on that. Like, and, like, you know, it just works pretty well. But it's funny, when they play it live, you can hear John, like, just as equal to Paul live. And sometimes John's voice even stands out higher when they do it live. But in this song, in the studio version, you know, measures out where you can hear Paul as the lead and John, John, you know, just accompanying him. But it works pretty well. And the guitar solo is great and all that. I've always been a classic Beatles song and, you know, a song that, you know, fans have loved of the Beatles as well. So now we're gonna end this album off with the last song on this album, Twist and Shout. Now, this was the only big Beatles hit that charted that was not, like, even their song. They didn't write it. It was Twist and Shout by the Isley Brothers. John sung it. And, John sang the song. John sang it. You know, he did the song. He did it pretty good. Nothing wrong about that. I don't know what the heck I was doing there, but I guess I was just rolling with the punches. So the album for itself, let me just refresh, you know, and just explain that. The songs that they did, the 10 songs they did, minus the 4 songs that were the singles, they recorded the album in 10 hours. 10 hours. You don't hear that anymore with debut albums, that they're recorded in just 10 hours. You know, there are people that work on songs for 10 hours nowadays, really. It just shows you how much music has changed. But... You know, Twist and Shout, it's got great, you know, it's got a great John Lennon, you know, lead vocal, Paul and George backing him up doing that, you know, the call and response. John knew that this was going to be a song that was going to strain his voice, so they were saving it to the end, and he was preparing for it and all that. And you hear at the end, too, when it ends, you can hear this kind of breath of, like, relief. And that, you know, of course, you kind of hear his, like, John and all that stuff. Which, it's funny, because I noticed that when after I saw the documentary talking about that. And then, after I listened to it, I'm like, oh, that must be John, you know, just, you know, taking a breath of relief, honestly, you know. Because he knew it was going to kill his vocals, you know, and it did. Definitely shot his vocals up after. But, great, you know, like, and definitely the definition of a party album with that song. So what do I think of it altogether? Of course, it's a decent first album, you know. Not a lot of artists, you know, put out a first album and it's a success. I would say this is just as good. There was no bad Beatles album. This is a polished album with the producer George Martin. They have a sound. They, of course, it was going to change and evolve, and they were going to figure out more what to do with their sound. But, you know, you got John, Paul, George, Ringo. That was the package deal, and it worked. It worked. So that ends this edition. Thank you very much, and see you guys next time. Bye.